Well, here we are.
It is time, Simba.
If you understand that reference, you might be about the age where we should be working together. It's possible. But it is now one of 3 times a year that I'm accepting clients for my freedom framework, overcoming food sensitivities and increasing energy without unnecessary restriction. My goal for my one-on-one clients is to take them through frameworks and explore tools for achieving 50, 80, 90% of their goals in just a few months and show them how to continue to heal on their own so they don't need me anymore. Honestly, I think we're doing great one-on-one work here, helping women that would otherwise be falling through the cracks, thinking that they're just aging, that they're just moms, that they just, and it may be true that they just have stress, when really those stress hormones and their other core systems just really need some serious support and some serious love to serve them for years to come without symptoms. So if you'd like to clear inflammation, eczema, food sensitivities, or improve energy and brain clarity, I'd love to chat with you. You can book a call with me at kristabigler.com/FSS, kristabigler.com/FSS, and that link will be in the show notes.
You have to engage the skin to create change. And it doesn't matter if it's with a washi stone, if it's with the herbal poultice, if it's with the lymphatic brush, if it's with your hands, right? You have to engage the tissue.
Stress is the inflammation that robs us of life, energy, and happiness. Our typical solutions for gut health and hormone balance have let a lot of us down. We're over-medicated and underserved. At The Less Stressed Life, we're a community of health-savvy women exploring solutions outside of our traditional Western medicine toolbox and training to raise the bar and change our stories. Each week, our hope is that you leave our sessions inspired to learn, grow, and share these stories to raise the bar in your life and home. In this episode about lymphatic brushing with Cecily Braden, she doesn't usually do podcasts, and I called her out and said, please come and do this podcast interview with me. And you'll find that the beginning starts a little bit slow, and then she really starts to find her groove. And before you know it, we're off to the races with her providing education. So just be a little bit gentle with the start on this one. All right. Today on The Less Stressed Life, I have Cecily Braden, who is celebrating 30 years in the spa and wellness industry as an esthetician, educator, and innovator. Now, a girl after my own heart, also has a degree in journalism, as I do. She had a passion for writing and telling stories, and she wanted to create educational videos for corporations. So she packed up everything she had to move from Colorado to Minnesota, where she forged a path into the spa business. I'm going to let her tell some of the rest of the story because it's a bit of a world travel. Cecily has gone on to be a trainer in the Vodder method as a lymphatic therapy. If I get any of this wrong, we'll correct it later. And then she also is the founder of the Lymphatic Brush, which is a really unique product on the market. And I was just drawn to some of her education online, and I wanted to have her come on and talk today about lymph drainage versus gua sha versus manual lymph drainage. And I just love her story. So thank you so much for coming today, Cecily.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about your story. And I love that you're a writer and love to storytell and love to educate. And so please tell us how all of this kind of happened for you.
I can tell you that I never intended to be in the spa business and wellness. And even when I was, I always would say I didn't want to be in skincare. And that's exactly where I landed. And so I equate my story a little bit to the game Chutes and Ladders. Have you ever played that when you were a kid?
Totally.
You climb up that really big you climb up that really big ladder. And then as I followed my heart and followed my passions, it just led me to long slides down and then having to climb back up. And so that's what it's been a little bit. But so my whole history is a little bit like Chutes and Ladders, but it's been interesting. But I probably first and foremost, I would have to say that I followed my passion and I followed my heart and I let my gut and just, I let that lead me. It was not about the money, which education is not about that, but just follow my passions. And like you said, wanting to share the story. I love the history of global spa wellness treatments. I love the history of the skin. That's what I do now, essentially, is I tell the story of the skin. I tell the story of how it functions and how it relates to the body and how the body functions. And I think it, my background in journalism and my passion for writing has allowed me to do that and put things together in digestible bites where it's understandable and very relatable versus technical. I like to break down the technical information so that people can visualize it and visualize what's happening in the skin and visualize what's happening in the body. I'm a visual learner, so I have to do that for myself. And so I think part of that is visualizing the story and then sharing that and passing along, which probably comes from the journalism background, I imagine.
Yeah, I was lots of smiles because I usually say similar things to what you just said there. It's a really, maybe it's just the piece. I love to gather all the pieces of the story and then make sure they're clearly shared. And then about wanting to educate yourself, I don't know. I always just wanted to know all the pieces, all the parts of the story. I just was an information gatherer. And when I read all your history and how you acquired some of these tools, skills, knowledge, there was a huge influence of kind of Asian practices, right? And did you do some traveling also?
Yes. When I first started, I actually was filling in. I following my journalism path, I wanted to create training videos for corporations. And a friend of mine, her father had a business and they asked me to be a receptionist for a couple weeks and just fill in. And I said, sure, I needed some money. And it allowed me to focus on what I really wanted to do. And during that 2 weeks, the marketing manager went on maternity leave. And so they had me step into that role. And all of a sudden, I was in this role with this equipment and people didn't know how to use it. I didn't know how to use it. I was new. And so I felt that responsibility. People were buying this piece of equipment that was thousands of dollars and they didn't know how to use it, didn't know how to get any revenue. So I felt obligated to help them because they'd spent all this money. And so I started researching the different components of it. So it was infrared and sound therapy and vibrational therapy and had all these amazing therapies in it. And I started writing protocols and just coming up with some different ideas in how people could use this and how people could benefit from it. And then they could share with their clients and develop programs and protocols around it. And so that kind of really started everything. I always tell people I started when it was just, I had a phone and a fax and I would literally fax people like 6 pages, which turned into 15 pages, which ended up turning into this 35 page book manual or it turned into a training manual that I would fax them. In just different ways and ideas and how to make money with it and how to benefit from it and how their clients could benefit. And so that really started my path into the spa and wellness. After doing all that research, I went to my boss and I said, have you ever thought about the spa business? They were selling it for relaxation, which back in the 90s, people didn't pay for relaxation. They might now, but it just wasn't a thing back then where you would go somewhere and pay to relax for 30 minutes or pay for a cat nap. And so we did. I went to my first trade show back in, I think it was like 95, 96. And that was it. It was hook, line, sink. And I ended up taking that path and worked with them for about 8 years, which led me to Asia because I was where I was part of my territory for training. I put together workshops around this training manual that I had written, and we developed on-site hands-on training from that. That formula of the hands-on training and putting together protocols and then working with small groups, I still use that today because that's how I train. We put the protocols together, we put the information, we go over theory, and then we do the hands-on, the practical, and spend a lot of time working through it. Something that now that I've been doing for 30 years now. But that, to go back to your question, that led me to traveling throughout Asia. And I've always had the love for it. My oldest sister and brother are Korean. And I don't know if that kind of innately had something to do with just an inner passion, but it definitely spoke to me and it changed my life.
I'm sure. So I know that you went and got some training or certification or you were teaching maybe related to Gua Sha. And then later you started doing training in lymph. Maybe can we talk a little bit about how Gua Sha, where it comes from maybe, and then so let's talk about Gua Sha versus manual lymph drainage.
Yes, I've been training on facial massage for about 20 years. And it really started first and foremost with the Thai herbal poultice. And so that's a cotton and muslin cloth. It's filled with herbs and then you steam it. And I started working and really training massage therapists and the body and full body massage. And then we went with a smaller poultice for working along the shoulders, around the face. And I wasn't an esthetician at the time, but I started to see all these remarkable changes in the face as we were working. And it was the whole intention behind the treatment was for relaxation. And so it was relaxation, stress reduction. We worked with a lot of resort spas, but I started to see a lot of changes in the face as we were just working through the protocol. And this is, I have one here just in case. This is the herbal poultice.
It looks like a mushroom, a cotton mushroom almost.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, upside down mushroom. And so I started using that. When I started to see all the different changes happening in the face, I thought there's got to be something to this. And ultimately, that's what led me into lymphatic drainage. Is it took me about 2 years. I started working with a company over in Thailand. They developed an even smaller poultice. So we had this little one like the one I'm holding here. It's about an inch and a half wide. And so I started working, and it took me about 2 years to develop a protocol that I could replicate. And it didn't matter who I was working on. I had a like kind of a list of techniques that I knew if you did this would happen. If you do this would happen.
Yeah.
If you do that, that would happen. And I worked with it until I could replicate it. And it didn't matter who I was working on. I knew what technique would result in a specific benefit. So in doing that, I taught and trained with herbal poultice for 13 years before I ever touched a gua sha stone.
Yeah.
But within that, one of the techniques happened to be a lymphatic drainage technique, which I called pump and pull. I still to this day, I say it's a horrible name, but I always challenge people to come up with the new one, but really is this pump and pull technique. And so when I became an esthetician and then I started studying the skin and I started studying the Vater method, I realized that actually what I had been doing for so many years was lymphatic drainage. Even though I didn't know what it was and I didn't have any formal training in it, the most effective technique with herbal poultice that I was teaching was in fact lymphatic drainage. Yeah. And so that was what led me into it. In 2014, the company I was working with in Thailand introduced me to gua sha. And I was fascinated by it, obviously, because I had a love for facial massage. And I really loved things that were different. And then again, wanting to wrap my hands around the story of gua sha and the history and how people could use it to benefit their skin and their body and their health. And one thing led to another, and I started working with the gua sha stone. I was introduced to Dr. Ping Zong from Nefeli, and once again found myself under the wing of someone who really taught me a lot and was able to share their knowledge with me. And so I worked with her for quite a while.
It almost sounded like the place where you got the poultices that look like the upside down mushrooms for visual people here. Were those already packed full of herbs? Do you know what kind of herbs were in those poultices?
Yeah. So typically we have several different blends and anything can go into a poultice, right? We have fresh herbs, Thai ginger, lemongrass. You're always going to find lemongrass in it. Usually when anything comes from Thailand, they feel it has lemongrass in it. Jasmine. We have sweet basil. We have some with cinnamon, camphor, tamarind. I know I'm missing another really important Thai herb that's usually in them. Ginger, lemongrass. I can't think of it. But yeah, so it's a mixture of herbs. Some have salt, some have clay, you could put really anything into a healing poultice. We just work specifically with Thai herbs and then different blends for different indications.
I'd also love to hear when you were seeing these results, you knew if I was doing this, I would see these types of results. Will you tell us about some of the benefits that you would see? Because people weren't going to pay for relaxation. So what were they actually seeing instead?
That's actually interesting because coming back to relaxation, I guess when I really looked like a decrease in wrinkles, one of my favorite before and afters is it just looked like the woman I was working on had slept for 100 years. She looked so relaxed and all the stress had been removed from her. Darkness under the eyes is one thing I saw. So the eyes were, I would say, was lighter and brighter, a lot more open, lifted brows, all the sagginess. And one of the things that we still carry through to today and even yesterday when I was doing a class is that through lymphatic drainage, you can lift and sculpt by draining out the excess fluid and getting rid of all the inflammation, getting rid of all of the waste products and all of that excess fluid. I equate it to unearthing the natural contours of your body, of your face. And so that's one of the things with the herbal poultice that I saw. Is we were really unearthing the natural contours of the face. And the contours were just highlighted and would stand out, and everyone looked contoured and lifted and brighter, and acne would clear up, the inflammation, the redness, rosacea would calm. So here I am using steam and heat, and it's calming rosacea and taking away all of the redness. And so to me, that was the dichotomy right there. And people would say, I don't understand. Like, we're using heat, but it's calming the skin and all of my redness is going away, which later, as I learned more and started to apply the science to the techniques, because they were just a list of techniques and made up names, pump and pull, it was because we were reducing inflammation and we were working with the lymphatic system and supporting the natural drainage of the tissues and the skin. And so it really, everything has just led me back. It's all full circle. But at the beginning really is the tai poultice and then gua sha and then the lymphatic brush. That's the linear movement.
You do training on the Vater method for lymphatic drainage.
So I am not a Dr. Vater trained educator. We work with Ashley Jo Press, who is our Dr. Vater specialist, and she's also a lymphedema specialist. I am trained in the Dr. Vater method, but I am not a Dr. Vater educator. And there's a big difference there. Yeah. A lot more schooling, a lot more education, but it is actually, it set the foundation for lymphatic drainage. So Dr. Vater is the gold standard.
What is Vater method lymph drainage versus other lymph drainage?
Yeah, so I think Dr. Vater is really the origin. He set the foundation back in 1929 when he went to France. He was in the French Riviera and he was seeing patients. He had studied and people that came before him that kind of had studied the clear water. And, but really between, I think it's 1933 or 1932 to 1936, he really developed what we know now as the Vater method. And I think what stands out for me is that Dr. Vater is the first one that realized that if you treat and focus on the stagnation of lymph and focused on releasing the lymph blockages versus treating the manifestations of it, then that was actually how to heal the body. And that's the focus of it now. We clear the blockages. We open up the pathways. We allow the fluid to flow and we support the lymphatic system in doing what it naturally does. And in that sense, it sets off a chain reaction in the body, right? The body's able to clear out the waste, which creates space for fresh blood and the fluid to nourish the cell and the nutrients to reach the cell. And so once you clear that blockage, it's clearing a dam in the river, the water and everything is able to flow through. And so probably with Vater, that stands out in kind of the crux of, aside from the techniques, just knowing that right there has set the foundation for what we focus on.
Something that caught my eye online that you were talking about was intraoral lymph drainage and facial work. Can you talk a little bit more about that and some of the kind of dramatic things that you can see when you're doing intraoral lymph drainage?
So I think this with the lymphatic drainage and especially with the intraoral, because we have educational partners and we do the buccal massage. We have education courses for that, as well as the intraoral, which is part of our MLD, our Dr. Vater MLD intensive. But I probably the one thing that I would like people to understand with the intraoral is that it doesn't have to be aggressive. Because I think which on Instagram or which on social media is a very intensive, sometimes it can look a little aggressive, where you're going inside the mouth and you're working on the muscles, both inside and outside. So you work on the tissue and the muscles in both ways. But with the intraoral lymphatic drainage method, it's very gentle. And so you're really able to soften the tissue. You're able to access internally some of the lymphatic vessel systems and the flow and different areas. But for that portion of it, I would say one thing that I love is that it's a very gentle method for doing the intraoral work, releasing jaw tension, TMJ disorders, headaches. And so what it really does is just helps relax all the muscles, softens the tissue, gets everything flowing.
And I saw you noted also like dizziness and tinnitus. And there was something really interesting you shared online about using lymphatic drainage on the palate would ease tension on the pineal and pituitary glands. Can you explain why that is? Because the palate of the mouth feels like a long, it feels far away from the pineal and pituitary glands. And maybe it's not that far, but can you talk about that?
Everything is connected though.
Yeah, for sure.
So everything is connected. And this is actually not my area of expertise. This is what Ashley Jo teaches. And this is actually part of her curriculum. Like I said, again, this really isn't my expertise. This would be a question for Ashley Jo, because I focus on the external, not the internal. And so I would even have to go back to my notes on this, but there's 17 different points like on the mouth. And when you palpate them, it's the same way as when you're activating the lymphatic vessels. And so you're able to do this stretch and release, which allows the fluid and allows the lymph to propel through the vessel system. And we have that throughout everything, so the mucous membranes. And so it's releasing that. And again, just setting off that chain reaction. But yeah, that's definitely not my area of expertise.
That's all right.
But it's fascinating.
Yeah. And I want to talk about tools. So in Gua Sha, you use some kind of hard tool and you usually use oil and you're brushing it. I don't know if brush is the right word, but you're pushing it against the face or you're pulling it against the face. And what my question really is, I've had Dr. Perry Nicholson on. He's done the Big Six with us here. And he says, you got to make sure that you open up the lymph drainage in the clavicle. But mostly we're talking about the face today, a lot of the face. So my question is, when people are doing Gua Sha or when they're using the lymph brush, which we'll talk about in a moment, is there a wrong way that is you need to do this first before you do the next piece? If someone has a slight familiarity with Gua Sha, but really wouldn't even know how to pick up a Gua Sha tool to understand, can you talk a little bit about right and wrong, or if there's a concern about doing it wrong?
Yes. I don't like to say right and wrong. I think there's different ways of doing it. Because I think if someone picks up a tool and their intention is to create movement within the tissue and to create movement, I have mine here. It's hard for me to talk and not do the tools. But if someone has a tool, whether it might be a Gua Sha tool, maybe it's something like a gemstone mushroom, maybe it's their hands, I don't like to think of it necessarily as right and wrong, but there are some rules and there are some considerations to take and some things to take into consideration. So with a Gua Sha stone, I'm going to say in general, we work upward and outward, but there's also downward movements that can support the lymphatic drainage or if you're working with the tissue. But Gua Sha is, this is where there's a lot of confusion. Gua Sha is a tissue treatment. And what we're working with, our skin, our body, we're made up of fluids and fibers, right? And so Gua Sha is a tissue treatment that directly works on the tissue and supports the flow of blood and increasing circulation. And that's the intention behind it. So when you're working with a Gua Sha stone, I would say probably the most important thing is connection with the skin. How are you connecting with your tool, connecting with the skin, engaging the tissue in order to create change, right? The one thing, if anything could come out of this podcast that I want people to understand, is you have to engage the skin to create change. And it doesn't matter if it's with a Gua Sha stone, if it's with the herbal poultice, if it's with the lymphatic brush, if it's with your hands, right? You have to engage the tissue. And in doing that, there's a lot of different ways that you can do that. And it depends on whether you have tension or maybe you have a buildup of stagnation and fluid. It depends on what type of movement that you need. For instance, with a Gua Sha stone, we use the edges and angles of the stone to connect with the skin and really work with the tissue, to that connective tissue, to open up, expand the tissue that gets all matted together. And so it gets matted and tangled in this little tight web. And we use that to open up and create space within the tissue so the fluids can flow. Now, if we couple that with lymphatic drainage, we've opened up the tissue, we've gotten rid of some of these adhesions that happen. Adhesions meaning like maybe little knots and little cross fibers, and sometimes even stagnation with fluid. And so if we can get rid of and release those adhesions and those little knots in the skin, and we can open that up, then we've created space for the fluids to flow. So that's where lymphatic drainage comes in and how we can couple them and how they can complement each other. So with Gua Sha, it's a tissue treatment. And when we're working with lymphatic drainage, we're focused on the movement of fluids and specifically the lymph vessel system and the movements of lymph within that. In general, and I get asked this a lot, and this also comes down to, I get asked a lot about dry brushing and Gua Sha, what's the difference? And the main difference is that Gua Sha focuses on the flow of blood, and it's all about blood and circulation. The same with a dry brush. Dry brushing is all about increasing circulation and blood flow. And the lymphatic brush, and whether it's the Dr. Botter method or any other method, should be this way, is it's focused on the flow of lymph and focusing on the lymph vessel system. So what does that mean? When we focus on the increased blood flow, that's sending fluid, right, and nutrients and oxygen into the tissue. So as the blood flows, every single heartbeat, it's sending plasma, it's leaking into the tissue to nourish the cells. As that fluid builds within the tissue space, it creates this tissue pressure, which builds up and activates the lymphatic system within that tissue. Its whole goal, it acts like a filter, right? So it's filtering out not only the excess tissue, but all of the cellular byproducts that are in the tissue. So it's maybe dead skin cells or protein. Maybe it's some of the waste products from when the cell is done with all the nutrients and it's what's left over. So it filters all of that out. And so they're two different things, right? One focuses on fluid and nutrients into the tissue, and the lymphatic system and the lymphatic drainage focuses on removing excess fluid and waste from the tissue. So Gua Sha and certain different types of facial massage and lymphatic drainage go hand in hand because they work together, but they work differently. So it's really what I focus on and my work and kind of what we do is we really try to balance the healthy exchange of nutrients into the tissue and waste removal, taking the waste out of the tissue, right? So those are the two things. And I think with skincare, if you start to look at that balance, is we have to remove the waste. We have to get rid of the clutter. We have to get rid of all of that excess. And then that allows for the space for the nutrients to reach the cell, for the oxygen to reach the cell unimpeded. It clears the tissue. And so all of the cells that are swimming and living in this tissue fluid are able to get the nutrients they need, and they're happy, and they're swimming in this like healthy, clean, pristine water. And that's what we're trying to do. So my work with the lymphatic system and the lymphatic brush is focused on that. That's really my arena, is what I call inner cleansing. So we're cleansing from the inside. And when we do that, miraculously, most skincare concerns are cleared. Inflammation goes away, acne heals, the skin brightens, the eyes brighten. And so it's really what we're looking at is the longevity of the individual cells.
I love how you said skincare, one of the goals is to get rid of waste. And I've never heard anyone describe the lymph system as a filter, but it's a good, I like the description.
Yeah. I mean, we're an aquarium, right? And all the cells are the little fishes. Mm. And you feed fishes and then the fishes also excrete, right?
Yeah.
And so do our cells. And that has to go somewhere, right? And where it ends up is in our tissue. And that's one thing that we really want to focus on is let's keep our tissue clean. Let's cleanse it. Let's remove the waste and allow the other systems to do what they do. And it starts this chain reaction. So back to your question, Gua Sha starts it, right? Because Gua Sha focuses on releasing the fibers, releasing those restrictions, increasing blood flow, and it works on the tissue from that level. Lymphatic drainage finishes it, right? So we're talking about telling a story. That's the story. At the beginning of it is the blood flow. And if you look at the life cycle of lymph, it starts out as blood. Middle of the story is where it's that interstitial fluid. And the end is where it becomes lymph and it cycles back to the heart. And it just starts this amazing process all over again.
Yeah. So we were talking about manual lymph drainage, which can be done with a variety of tools, your hands, whatever. And then you brought up dry brushing. I forgot about dry brushing because after I learned about Gua Sha, I gravitated to that more. I work with a lot of people with skin rashes. And so a lot of dry brushes are not very comfortable. They're actually pretty squishy and no one wants to do something that's uncomfortable, right? And I would say Gua Sha generally makes you feel good. The barrier is that oh, I've got to put oil on my face and rub this thing on, right? And so it feels like there's an extra step in there where it's, you've got to add that thing for the stuff to slide. Now, you wouldn't have to. That was just how I learned it, right? I don't know. You can correct me. So then you come on the scene with a different kind of brush. Tell me why you did that. What gap did that fill or purpose did that serve that was not being served through traditional gua sha, dry brushing, et cetera?
My workshop is called Gua Sha Facial Fusion, and it's fusing gua sha with lymphatic drainage. We incorporate the Thai poultice and a variety of techniques for achieving a variety of skincare benefits. So with that, earlier I had explained that when I was using the herbal poultice, one of the most effective techniques turned out to be lymphatic drainage before I knew what it was.
Right.
And doing that, when I started working with the gua sha stone, I transferred the techniques that I was using with the herbal poultice, minus the heat and different shape, but I transferred those to use with the gua sha stone. And in doing that, it was the, what I called the pump and pull technique, creating that lymphatic pull with a gua sha stone. So while you can do lymphatic drainage with a gua sha stone, it's not gua sha. It's literally doing manual lymphatic drainage with the tool. It's a big part of what I do because the techniques are really effective, but it's the hardest technique to learn. There's a really high learning curve. And this is for professionals who are working on clients. If you take that a step further and you try and teach that particular technique, lymphatic drainage with a gua sha stone, to someone who's working at for self-care or trying to learn how to support their own skincare needs at home, it's really difficult. And that's where I was. I was in this space where people would come to me and say, oh, what do you think my skin needs? Look at this and look at that. And I would look and I would say, you need lymphatic drainage. It's just your system is sluggish. You just need a little movement. But my answer was always lymphatic drainage. But I didn't have a tool to provide them that would allow them to easily and effectively do lymphatic drainage on themselves. One, I could have easily given them or sold them a gua sha stone and said, do this and do this. In my heart, I knew they probably wouldn't do it. So I didn't sell that to them. And my friends always say, you're the worst spa friend. Because I know that if I know you're not going to do it, then I'm not going to even go there with you, right? Because it's a waste and I hate waste. I'm not going to sell you something that I don't think that you're going to use and also take the time to educate you if it's just not something that you can incorporate into your life. You're busy, whatever it might be. So anyway, I had this hole. And that's where lymphatic brush came, is I needed something that was easy and effective for lymphatic drainage, both for professionals and for self-care. And I really took the technique and created a tool around the technique and what I was teaching in our classes. So really, it seems like it came out of nowhere, but I've been teaching this technique for 20 years, and I've just been teaching it with different tools. And finally, now I have a lymphatic tool that I can do lymphatic drainage with, which is really nice.
So I just want to clarify, do you feel like people are more likely to use a brush over a gua sha stone? My resistance to using my gua sha stone all the time is just like the extra step in between and then cleaning it. And
is it the oil?
Yeah, the oil. And then also I had a stone and I've fixed this. I had bought an expensive gua sha stone and then you drop it and it breaks, which is they have a sharp edge or something. So then I went to different stones. But more so, just why would I use a brush over a stone would be for oil. But for me, I'm trying to understand, is there more benefit to a brush versus the stone? Or is it really similar? The brush is just really gentle.
So it depends on how you use it. So most people will say if they're gliding a stone on their skin, and you see this a lot on social media, people will say, oh, this is for lymphatic drainage. So they're doing gua sha movements, the gliding on their skin, for lymphatic drainage, which isn't necessarily correct. When you're working with a gua sha stone, right, and you're engaging the tissue, the reason we use an oil is because we need to engage the tissue in order to create change. So the oil, it's not so much about the glide. The oil should be so that you have grip and glide. So you're able to engage the tissue just enough that when you're gliding, you're having an effect on the tissue. Now, remember, gua sha is all about blood flow, which sends nutrients, oxygen, and fluid into the tissue. When we're working with a lymphatic brush, it targets and mimics the natural contraction of the lymphatic vessel to propel lymph within that vessel system to remove the excess fluid and remove the waste. So they're working on two different ways, right? So what happens when you're using a gua sha stone, it has an indirect benefit, or it affects the lymphatic system indirectly because it's increasing the blood flow, which once you get all that blood flow into the tissue and all that fluid, it activates the lymphatic system to remove it, right? But it's not directly working the lymphatic system only. So when we work with the lymphatic brush, we are targeting the lymphatic vessel system to remove waste and fluid without increasing blood flow or blood pressure. Gua sha is a tissue treatment, and that's actually the goal and the purpose of it, right? Is to increase and have an effect on blood. The lymphatic brush is to have an effect on lymph in the vessel system. So we're talking about the circulatory system, and we're talking about the lymphatic system, which go hand in hand. They're like night and day, right? That's the yin and the yang that we blend together, because you can't have one without the other. One has a direct effect on the other because they work together. Lymph starts out as blood. So it's very directly connected, and it ends as blood. It returns, circulates and returns back to the heart. When we look at that, yes, gua sha will have an effect on the lymphatic system, but it's not lymphatic drainage. And that was the space that I was in. Not only that, the techniques are completely different. With gua sha, we work on what I actually call it like a medium rare pressure, right? Not light, but it's not deep. And we don't want to go too deep, right? You can, but that's working more the muscles. We want to be right in that light to medium pressure where we're working with the connective tissue and really trying to have an effect on blood flow and releasing all of, it's excellent for releasing those adhesions and opening up the space and everything that kind of gets matted together. What was it say? Oh, so with that was the space I was in. And I was having to teach lymphatic drainage with a tool that was not intended for it. Can you do it? Yes. Did I do it? Yes. I did it for 20 years. But when it came down to the client side of it, that was where it was just too difficult. The learning curve was high. Like you said, there's a step in between. You have to put the oil, and then there's a lot of steps. And then I have to go out. And then what if I do this? And then, so it's a lot more complicated, right? With the lymphatic brush, the brush does the work. And that's what I was after. That's what I was really trying to achieve. So it's very specific. It looks like it's just a brush. It took me 3 years to do this. It's very specific in the density of the bristles and their length. So the neck and body brush, and we use it for a décolleté, is a shorter, more dense bristle, obviously wider, so it's bigger. And the facial brush has a longer bristle, and it's a little bit softer. It doesn't have the same density so that it can lay out a little bit. And the goal behind that was so that it could fit any contour of the face. Because again, connection is key, right? We have to connect the bristles, the textured bristles with the skin in order to engage the skin to create change. So we're just doing it in a different way than we do with gua sha.
And if I'm hearing you right, can you not mess it up with the brush, with the lymph brush?
It's just foolproof. So with the brush, because the textured bristles grip the skin in the precise pressure, all you have to do is brush outward and downward and follow the lymph pathways. That's it. So outward, downward, follow the lymph pathways, and the brush does the work. And actually, I should go a step further. The skin does the work, right? All we're doing is we're nudging it. We're just giving it a little bit of a help. Yeah. And so when we get that stagnation, and this kind of circles way all the way back also to my belief that skincare shouldn't be complicated, right? And we shouldn't have to stress about 12-step skincare programs and 21-day skincare challenges and having to worry about the latest thing. And this is what I'm trying to do. We should really be focusing on the inner function of our skin, supporting that, and thinking about what I can do that's less is more, right? What can I do to not interfere with my personal ecosystem and not mess things up? Because the skin is really smart. If we just support the systems of the skin, they're going to do what they do. And when it comes to a lot of skincare issues, we're usually the problem. We've complicated things and we've gotten in the way. And we start one program, then we start another program, then the skin is confused. And we're not supporting the systems that actually bring about healthy, vibrant, clear skin.
I was really wondering in this conversation, why did you do this brush? And as you described, it just perfectly, the pressure is right. But to your point, there's not really a good dry brush for the face that I've seen. And I've bought a lot of them and they're very large. So I understand like the whole curvature, the softness, I can understand where there's a gap. It's hard to even find a normal dry brush for the body that's soft enough.
Yeah. And actually that's my intention as well, right? Because the texture and the density and the material for a dry brush is what it is, because it's also, like gua sha, intended to increase circulation. Yeah. And so that's working with blood flow as well. So we have all these modalities, even when you're talking about like the buccal massage and a lot of sculptural lifting massages and dry brushing and gua sha, that's all about blood flow. And it's fantastic because we need that, and increasing and bringing all that blood back into circulation and the nutrients, then that's what helps bring about that glow. But I focus on the other side of it, and that's where we lack tools.
For sure.
But by the way, it's very difficult because it's very specific. The pressure, and again, when people do lymphatic drainage with their hands, it's very hard because you have a tendency to, one, press too hard, and two, overstretch the skin. And when you are talking about a technique where you're stretching the skin and moving downward and outward, that scares people. I had someone that I absolutely love this comment. It was just, I think probably a lot of people think it, but she said, I'm 54 years old and I'm scared to brush downward. And I thought, I love this question. I'm 54 and that's all I do. And I really talking her through the process of trusting that the brush is not going to overstretch the skin. Because what happens is, because of the bristles, the way that they kind of grip onto the skin, it's gentle. And if you were to, let's say, go to overstretch, it turns into a sweep and the skin just releases and rebounds. So unless you were really pushing very hard, which you wouldn't, because that doesn't feel right with the brush, right? It's just about connecting it with the skin, allowing those little textured bristles to grip just enough to give the skin slight little stretch, and then just follow the pathways. And so we look at it and we use it in a very gentle way, which is another message, right? Less is more when it comes to the aggressiveness of your treatment. It's not about muscling out a wrinkle, right? It's about softening the wrinkle, but we can soften it in a very gentle way. Yesterday in class, two things. There was a woman who had shingles and she had scarring on her forehead. And by just using the lymphatic brush, all of it had softened. And she said, how is it that she was going to go in for an aggressive treatment to help with it? She said, how is that helping? And one of the analogies that I use is that when the wind blows and it shakes the top of the trees and the leaves and the branches sway, that resonates and vibrates all the way through the trunk, all the way down to the roots, right? It's not separate. And so that's what we're doing with lymphatic drainage. We're shaking the tops of the trees, right? And it has a really profound effect deeply. And we can affect a lot of change working in a gentle way. Our body responds to gentleness. The touch receptors in our skin, when we're working with that rhythmic movements, one of the comments I get most often, and I love this, kind of goes back to our original conversation about relaxation, is the brush just helps me relax. I always feel calm. It just puts me to sleep. Like, oh, I just shut my eyes. It helps me with anxiety. It helps me with my ADHD. It calms me down. And if that's all you get from it,
it's a win.
I'm happy.
Yeah,
it's a win, because our skin is only able to repair when the body is in that parasympathetic state. And so if that's what the brush is allowing you to do, then you're already on your way.
Yeah, that was my only really other question, was how does all of this relate to the nervous system?
Directly. So when you're using it, and one thing with, if we just think about touch and a gentle touch, is that we have all these touch receptors in our skin. And so when we're using the brush and we're doing that rhythmic movement or just that sweeping and gentle gliding, is it's sending messages to the brain that we're safe, to calm down, to slow down, right? That it's okay, let go. And so the body is taking in that and it's calming down because it's sending those direct messages to the brain.
Yeah.
And then when we start working, a lot of the movements when we're working around the neck we're right on that vagal nerve here. You can work different areas of the body, but really with that touch and those rhythmic movements, it's overriding the nervous system. It's helping to put people into that parasympathetic state and calming them down.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what MLD does.
Yeah, that takes me back to, I remember working with an occupational therapist around some sensory issues in one of my kids. And I just remember that's a really common tool in pediatrics for sure, is like these little brushes that they use on babies to wash their hair in the hospital, they use to brush on the skin.
Oh, yeah. So this is little. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people reach out. Their children have ADHD, and a couple have reached out that say that their children have autism, and the brush has helped them because it's the only thing that will calm them down. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's incredible, right?
Yeah. What an unexpected response.
I have to tell you, I've completely unexpected, but the brush has brought so many unexpected things. I've been in this whirlwind lately because it's thrown me into all these arenas that are not, but I'm finding out the brush is helping. So lipedema, cancer rehab, which we're going to start doing some work with. I'm working with some specialists on that. I'm finding the people that can bring this through. I'm having people talk with me about some neurological disorders, how it's so helping cool. with brain fog and calming. And one of my customers, her grandfather doesn't like to be touched, and she allows him to use the brush on him. And I'm inundated with all these amazing stories that it's really interesting to see how many different paths. So here I am as an esthetician and an educator on skincare, but it's so much bigger than that. And I'm realizing that. And I'm like, oh, here I am talking about wrinkles when someone's life is being changed because it's having an effect on being able to focus or calm their child down or just bring a sense of relaxation to their home. And to me, it's remarkable beyond my dreams. I never would have dreamt it. But if that's where I'm headed and that's where we're going in. And so I always tell people, please share your stories with me because I'll reach out. I follow up on these. I try to find, hey, if this is helping one person, maybe it can help more people. Yeah. And so I am the first to admit that I don't know something, but I definitely will find out the answer. I'll search for it. Let's see. Let's just go down that road. And so it's really interesting because it's brought a lot of different arenas, but new people into my life that where it's life changing and it's not just aesthetic, right? It's not cosmetic. So it's interesting. And I don't know. I'm just overwhelmed a little bit.
Yeah. It's a great segue to where can people find you online? And there's the lymphaticbrush.com. I'll mention that. There's a coupon code, which I'm going to use. It's LessStressed15 for the lymphatic brush. And then you have other websites and places people can find you as well, right?
Yeah. So if you go to the lymphaticbrush.com, it will lead you to everything else. It leads you to our Instagram with tutorials. We've just created a ton more tutorials that we're going to be putting on the website, also our academy. But lymphaticbrush.com, start there. It'll take you where you need to go.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on today, Cecily.
All right. Thank you.
Sharing and reviewing this podcast is the best way to help us succeed with our mission to help integrate the best of East and West and empower you to raise the bar on your health story. Just go to reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. That's reviewthispodcast.com/less-stressed-life. And you'll be taken directly to a page where you can insert your review and hit post.